From JMI Wealth, Andrew Kelleher. Welcome to the end of the week.
Good morning, Mike.
Regional confidence. This is really interesting because some of it I can explain, some of it I can't, but it's a north-south thing, isn't it?
Yeah, there is. This is the Westpac McDermott Miller Regional Economic Confidence. And Mike, we talked about confidence yesterday, but we were talking about employment confidence. And now we're broadening this conversation out this morning, sort of general economic confidence. And I think I made a brief throwaway call yesterday about the big city in respect to employment confidence. So, well, in general economic terms, Auckland is also down in the dumps. However, in all fairness, they're not the only ones. Look, generally confidence, economic confidence has fallen almost everywhere. Two places did buck the trend. Now, this is interesting. Southland was the most downbeat in March. It came in at -6. Well, they haven't moved, but everyone else has slumped around them. And it's not the most downbeat at the moment as well. Now, why would we even question the other one, Mike? Gisborne, Hawke's Bay, economic confidence has gone up from 5 to 90. It's gone up. Mm. I mean, what is it down there? I mean, I get it because they've got the Gimlet Gravels. And that always lifts my mood. And I'd feel good if I had Craggy Range and Clearview on my doorstep as well. But yes, we've sort of got this we've got this down south problem, Otago. And so what's going on? Well, first we've got an issue around international tourism. So coming into places like Central Lakes and Queenstown, and when you don't have them, that's a big blow to lose that. That hits Auckland as well. I mean, Auckland is sort of the gateway of international tourists into New Zealand. But Auckland also has a big population of non-essential workers, and they would have been particularly hard hit during the lockdown. You get that uncertainty over jobs and over employment prospects. So, look, a net 22% of households are now expecting New Zealand's largest regional economy to deteriorate over the coming year. In Otago, that's a net 33% of households feeling pessimistic. So the most downbeat by quite some margin. But look, there's a nice silver lining to this cloud, Mike. School holidays are coming. I hear lots of Aucklanders are coming down to Queenstown. Misery loves company. So hopefully they'll spend up large when we'll get there and it'll be okay.
Good stuff. I'm looking at the Dow. It's holding its own this morning.
Yeah.
But they've worked out, you were right, that there are some numbers they need to be worried about in various states around America.
Yeah, now the reason I want to have a conversation about this morning is that, when we spoke yesterday, US and other global share markets were under a bit of pressure. The S&P 500 was having a look at that 3,000 level. It had closed down 2.6% in the end, and we saw that weakness evident across European and Asian share markets as well. And so that was share markets sort of casting a wary eye at the coronavirus situation. Now, but it feels like we could be in, this feels like what we're going through at the moment could be a bit of a test of the resilience of the share market rally that we've seen. So last night, before I went to bed, I was sort of prepping myself to see the follow through, and we haven't really seen it. And yes, Mike, I have been pretty consistent in being worried about the way some of the numbers were tracking. And some signals, like rates of hospitalizations, number of death rates in the US, they were improving, but the number of new cases was not. And that's a US and a global issue. And now you're starting to see several states in the US having to wind back their reopening measures. So it's like us having to step back into level two or level three. Okay. My concern, Mike, has always been that these places wouldn't eventually get on top of the situation, or that they would accept the human cost of reopening. But it just extends the period of economic dislocation. So it increases the potential that some businesses just can't make it. They just go bust. I mean, we saw 38,000 cases in the US. That's the latest US daily number. We haven't seen a number like that since April the 24th. And this virus is tracking south and it's tracking west from that original epicenter of New York, New Jersey. So you've got problems in Texas, California, Arizona. They're all questioning their reopening plans. And then you've got New York, New Jersey, Connecticut imposing this two-week quarantine on visitors from these virus hotspots. But look, the US markets now, they're in the green, Mike, and we're seeing, Europe was in the green as well. So if the resolve of the rally is being tested at the moment, it's hanging in there.
I know the Congressional Budget Office is still predicting 21.5% growth in July-September quarter, followed by 10. I mean, they seem increasingly ludicrous numbers, don't they?
Yeah, but markets are forward-looking, Mike. They're forward-looking. They're still looking beyond it. They're still saying we'll weather the storm at the moment.
Okay. What are the numbers?
25,470 on the Dow at the moment, so it's up 23, so it's sort of just in positive territory, as is the S&P 500, 3055 up 5, the NASDAQ 9925 up 16, so hanging in there. The FTSE 100 gained 23, 6147. The Nikkei lost 274. That was Asian markets coming in, reacting to the overnight 22260. Shanghai Composite 2979. They got a holiday over there at the moment, so it's the same as it was yesterday. The ASX 200 lost 148 points yesterday, 5817, down 2.48%, and we lost 135 points in the NZX 50 yesterday, closing at 11,124. On the currencies, not much going on there for the Kiwi dollar, 0.6427 against the US, 0.9352 Aussie, 0.5727 euro, 0.5178 pounds, 68.89 yen. Gold, $1,762.14 US cents, and Brent crude, $41.29.
Fantastic. And if you're opening some craggy range, let me know. I'll be round about 1:15. You have a good weekend. Andrew Kelleher at jmiwealth.co.nz.